Blog Talk. Are you aging and alone with no close family or maybe even no close friends to watch out and care for you if you get sick? An increasing number of people face that prospect of being totally alone as they advance in years. And I'm recently visiting my aunt in hospice. Finally, they put her in hospice. And she has had some tough time, even though she does have a daughter available, but people aren't there all the time. So today's speaker has become an advocate for aging alone, and she's going to share many insights and solutions for our future for many of us. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, and my 30-day love challenge, 30 love lessons for your soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Carol Marek is an aging alone advocate, a syndicated columnist, and editor at seniorcare.com. On the website, it states that the number of people over age 65 is projected to go from 43 million to 83 million by 2050. Is society ready for this? Carol promotes well-being and active aging solutions through articles, interviews, and campaigns. Her writing appears in Next Avenue, Huffington Post, About.com, Examiner, Home Care Magazine, AS Aging Volunteer Match, Health Technology Forum, and many more. Her hashtag Aging Voices campaign is designed to make cities and states a better place for older adults to age. Let your voice be heard by using hashtag Aging Voices. So it is my pleasure to welcome you, Carol Marek.
Well, thank you, Dr. Goodstone. It's my pleasure to be here. How exciting. It's such an important topic.
Yes, and I would love to hear how you got involved with this. What's your education, employment, training? What led you to decide to become an advocate for aging adults that don't really have family or friends or anyone to take care of them?
Well, my background is really having my own experience of growing older alone. I am currently 65, and I live in the suburbs of the great state of Texas. And after my experience of helping my parents grow older, I helped a great deal along with my two sisters. We cared for both my parents. Mother had chronic, what we call congestive heart failure, and my father lived with Alzheimer's disease. So it really took the three of us to pitch in and to help them through the process of growing older. And after my experience of about 10 years of helping them, it occurred to me that I have no children, nor do I have a spouse or a partner to rely upon. So that really kind of opened the door to my advocacy and writing about some of the issues that older adults like me face when we are literally alone. But fortunately for me, I do have siblings, but unfortunately, like most of us, we cannot count on our siblings to be there for us because they have to rely on themselves or maybe their own family to take care of. So it's a predicament that close to 29% of the aging or people over the age of 65 and over, that we were faced with huge challenges of aging alone.
What are some of the issues that people face by not having family around them?
Yeah.
I think you mentioned Alzheimer's, but that's just one thing.
Well, you know, really there are several, and there are some interesting studies around older people living alone, and some of those are, you know, people who do live alone, they are likely to be poor and live in poverty because they have no one else to to depend on financially. They are the sole payers of all the bills, right? So it's more expensive for one person to live alone rather than two or three people to share the bills. We also face feeling lonely and isolated because we do live alone and our society seems to be more of an independent thinking type of society rather than a dependence, you know, having an interdependence type attitude. So we feel more isolated, especially if we're at home alone. And that in itself can cause our high risks of developing, you know, depression as well as falling at home. And then we also really face the problems of not really, you know, how people feel that they want, eating is a social type activity that most of us enjoy. So if we're at home alone and we're cooking for one person and eating that meal alone, then we have a tendency to cook less balanced meals, or maybe we have a tendency to eat more snacks rather than eat more nutritional foods. So that is a huge factor. Other challenges we face, you know, as we grow older, we lose our ability or at least our confidence in the ability to drive. And if we live in suburbia where most older adults live, then we have a tendency to just stay in the house, television, right? So we become inactive, we eat less healthy, and we become more isolated and depressed.
Wow, it's huge.
Sounds depressing, doesn't it?
Have you noticed any assistance with the internet?
I started a Facebook group called Elder Orphans. It's a group that I founded a year ago on Facebook. So I think the more we can, if you are forced to live in, you know, stay at home and unable to drive to a senior center, for example, to be more social or to meet up with friends for lunch, you know, the least you can do for yourself is to connect with people, like-minded people, online. And Facebook offers a good mechanism for that. And there are other online websites that really offer good connection for any individual, really, that is kind of stuck at home, who lack the ability to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm. And you said you encourage older adults to make their voices heard. What do you mean, and how do they make their voices heard?
Well, that's an interesting question. Just recently, I started the campaign, hashtag Aging Voices. And the whole premise for Aging Voices is to first of all, become more visible, right? It seems that older adults are more comfortable when we are at home and we are isolated away from society. So what I want to do is to have our voices heard and start speaking up for some of the things that we need, because it seems that the squeaky wheel gets all of the grease, right? And recently I attended at the state capitol here in Texas, in the city of Austin. There was every year there is what we call Seniors Day. And every city or every state capitol has, you know, offers seniors the opportunity to meet with state and also state senators as well as state representatives. So during the day, you have the opportunity to make appointments with your state legislatures and to visit with them to have your voices heard. And what's really wonderful about the day is that if you connect with nonprofit organizations within your cities, they can normally hook you up with the coalition and other nonprofits that are creating rides and bus transportation, and many times it's free transportation, to these events at the state capitol. So that's one way to get your voices heard. Another way is to maybe write an article, an editorial article, to your local newspaper and stating some of the needs and issues that you are facing while aging alone, or maybe even if you do have a partner, some of the issues that you deal with, maybe lack of transportation. It could be the growing cost of health care. And so my whole mission in starting the hashtag Aging Voices is to get the word out and to get us talking about our issues and challenges so that city and state officials, the leaders, the business leaders who can do something about it, will pay attention to us.
It's really, really important what you're doing. I've been visiting my aunt. She's 96, and they put her first in the hospital. She was dehydrated. Then she can't stay in the hospital. Then they put her in rehab. But she wasn't strong enough to be rehabbed. Then they put her back in the hospital, back in rehab, and finally she's in hospice. And what I experienced the last time that she was awake when I was there, they were washing her. They came in to clean her. So they just stripped down her robe, her nightgown, in front of me, in front of her daughter. She was trying to hold it, and she didn't want them to do that. But she had no power, no dignity, and it was just sad to watch that. She was always an elegant lady, dressed well. You know, to have this happen, it was unnecessary. They could have done it privately, but they're not thinking like that. So we need to advocate for that. That's just one thing that I saw. The whole process.
That's why
I heard from someone who works with hospice that this is very common, that people get shifted. She has dementia, so she didn't know where she was. She thought they were taking her on a ship to a foreign island. because some of the nurses are from Haiti. So she, so on top of that, losing your dignity, it's sad.
It's very sad. And I think, you know, more educate, not only more education for caregivers and hospital workers, but also we individuals need to learn how to advocate, how to be our own self-patient advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have no one standing in for you, who can advocate for you at the hospital, then we need to learn
right.
how to take care of ourselves and to voice what it is that we want. And that's really a shame. I'm so sorry to hear about your aunt. That's very
but
sad.
But it's harder to do that when your brain isn't functioning well and you have Alzheimer's or dementia.
At oh, absolutely.
One of the rehabs she was at, I visited like in the evening, and when they looked her up, they thought she was homeless. And I said, she's not homeless. Her daughter was there in the afternoon. You know, so there was, maybe she didn't know who she was or where she was, but she had a home.
Right.
And so the system needs improvement, definitely. So you're really a wonderful voice for all of us. So what can people do now? You know, while they're working and reasonably healthy, what can they do to prepare for those older years?
Right. Well, first off, we all know we need to save money, right? So
mm-hmm.
that we're financially able to care for ourselves. I think the younger you are, the more opportunities you have to save for your retirement. For the days that when you become frail and unable to care for yourself. Secondly, is to start thinking about what will your life be when you grow older. I mean, start imagining and envisioning how you want to live. For example, if you're 45 and you're single and you still don't have children, then what are your chances that you will have a child or a partner or someone in your life who will be able to kind of be your partner through it all?
But there's
set
another
up your
problem
legal...
there. Your partner may not be there. They may be there for years and they can get sick and they may not be able to be your advocate.
Exactly. Exactly. That's right. So start thinking about those days and what the circumstances may be projected into the future. I know for myself, for example, I started thinking about these things once my parents died. I realized I'm going to be alone. So I have set up my legal documents. I am now researching for an advocate. For example, I know I have two sisters, but who are to say that they will outlive me because they're older than me. I'm the youngest in the family. So I need to really think through, but I know that you won't find someone, or let me answer it this way. You don't have to have all the solutions in place today. Just have a solution in place. For example, right now, one of my sisters will be my healthcare proxy or is my healthcare proxy. And then in 2 to 3 years, I will relook at the situation to see if she is mentally capable and also if she's still here, you know, because she's much mm-hmm. older than I am. So always reevaluate your life circumstances. You know, just because you have your legal docs in place doesn't mean they can't be changed.
And what
and
you're
also
saying
to
is
learn,
not to let yourself be blindsided at some older age
right.
when you're not thinking as clearly.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. Yeah, so the more we can kind of project into the future, you know, the better we'll be.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. They always talk about projecting into the future for creating your career or for finding your partner in life, but they don't think in terms of end-of-life type of planning or latter-year planning.
Right, right, right. And also, don't jump from where, if you're 45 or even 55, don't go from, okay, here's where I am today, now how do I see my end of life? Well, how do you see your next middle life or the next forward,
right,
20 years from now? What would you consider middle care planning? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were to go to the hospital at age 60 and you don't have a loved one or a relative nearby, who can you count on to take you to the hospital, sit with you, and then to bring you home and make sure you're comfortable and you're able to heal properly at home? You know, so think about those things. And that's those are huge, very important. Yes, and things we don't think about. You know, these are the things we talk about on my Facebook group, because several of the members so far have in the year have had surgery. And how does one prepare one's home or prepare oneself to get to the doctor? How much food do you buy? You know, who's going to prepare your meals? Do you buy in advance and freeze it? Or cook in advance and freeze it, which might be a good step. But you have to think about these things, because what if you have an accident? One member did. She had a car accident. And, of course, here she is living alone. She had a car accident, and she was ended up in the hospital. No one was there to visit, nor did she have someone to take her home. So they placed her in a skilled rehab for 2 weeks because she couldn't, they wouldn't mm-hmm. allow her to go home because she had no one to care for her or even drive her home. And
but
that can be expensive.
I was going to say, she also has to have the medical coverage, and she may not. So there may be this huge bill afterwards.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that's right. Hopefully she wasn't in that circumstance, but hopefully we have health care insurance.
But that's why they moved my aunt from the hospital to rehab, because that's how the medical system works at the moment. You can't stay in
right.
one place too long because there's a point where you're going to owe bills. Anyway, what resources are currently available to help seniors cope with this? I've heard of a few things. Meals on Wheels, bringing meals to people's homes, driving services to bring elders to their doctor or their appointments, and students volunteering to be with older people. But how available are these things?
Well, that's a good question, depending upon where you live. You know, the larger cities do have transportation like Uber options, Lyft. They even have metros, public transportation. They even have colleges, universities, where you might be able to access the help of a college student. It depends on where you live. If you live in the rural communities, you certainly have less options, unless many times if you do live rurally, you have you have neighbors who kind of pitch in, or even the church might, mm-hmm. you know, the church congregation and members might pitch in to help out. But the first
that
call,
a lot of people who belong to churches do get support because the people have known
mm-hmm.
them over a period of time.
Right.
And that can be
That's
wonderful.
Right. Exactly. But one of the best resources that I recommend to everyone is the local city. In most local areas have what we call the Area Agency on Aging. And another term is called Department of Aging. They are federally funded agencies that are a tremendous resource for people living with disabilities and also the elderly, you know, the seniors and the elderly. And
that's,
even
that's
if you live in a, oh, absolutely. They are, in my opinion, they are absolutely wonderful. And all of the departments, no matter where you live, they know where you can go to get help. And of course, if you're in a large enough city, you can always call 211 or 311. But I think it's 211 that really kind of works with the area agency on aging. So if you need help, you could just call 211. Of course,
well,
if it's
I didn't know that.
Call 911.
Right, but no, I've only known 911. That's very valuable information. Thank you. So tell us about the resources. Yes, and tell us about the resources that you provide at seniorcare.com.
Well, we do. We have put together, which is really quite informative, seniorcare.com. What we've done is collated different studies. We've used the data from the U.S. Census, the American Healthcare Rankings, Long-Term Care Scorecard, and several other government studies. And we've collated this data into city guides. So we now have over 8,000 guides that give you really great in-depth information about the demographics of older individuals living in these cities or living in cities across America. And each guide also includes the local resources that you can call for help.
That's incredible.
So it,
people don't know
about
this. Yeah,
it's a wealth of information. Do what?
Oh, I'm so glad that you're sharing this. People really don't know. I haven't heard of these possibilities.
Well, good. I'm glad we're talking.
Yes, and I'm going to share it more. This is very, very important for a lot of
and
people.
And I can send you.
And they don't think
yeah,
about
I'll
it.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. Right. I'll
Thank
send you,
you
the
great.
Link to that.
Thank you. Thank you. So how can our listeners get in touch with you, or what would you recommend for them?
Well, if you do have a question about maybe your local resources or where to go, if you have concerns about becoming, of course, I can't help anyone if you're depressed, but if you do have concerns about transportation, affordable housing, any other type of needs that you may require, you know, feel free to to access the city guides, because that's where you will definitely find resources for help. I would also recommend calling the local area agency on aging. So for those of you who have a computer, just do a search on the name of your city and area agency on aging, or call 211. And then if you have other questions that you kind of are confused about, you know, feel free to email me at carol@seniorcare.com.
Thank you so much for sharing your information today and for being on this mission to help so many of us.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
And you can make a big change in the next 10 to 20 years just by getting this started. It's wonderful.
That's right.
So thank you for coming here today to talk with me. It was great.
Thank you, Dr. Goodstone. Have a great day.
And you too. So I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond, and Be Healthy and Happy. And if you're ready to create lasting love, check the link to my 30 Love Lessons for the Soul, and you'll get on the early list to find out when the next one starts. That's at GuerricaGoodstone.com. I look forward to speaking to you soon, and check out my upcoming Men and Love series. It will be posted on my website. Bye for now.